The first reading today, we hear about Peter and John going up to the temple, this man looking for an alms. And it's interesting that it simply says that he looked at them hoping to get something from them. And Peter says to him, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you get up and walk." The man was looking for some money, and he received something that was far, far greater than he could ever have hoped for, which of course is what we hear when we hear about the man walking and jumping and praising God and doing all these things. He was so excited about this, obviously far more excited than he ever was because somebody gave him some money, because now he was able to function, do things that he couldn't ever do. And as wonderful as that is, we have to then be able to look at our own selves and ask the real question, what is it in me that is lame? What is it in me that is broken? What is it in me that is keeping me from union with Christ? If you think about it again, this man, we are told, used to sit at the gate of the temple. Again, on one hand, it makes perfect sense. He's hoping for alms from people who are going into the temple. But isn't it sad? He was outside the temple. He didn't go inside the temple to worship God. He just sat outside the temple hoping to get something from the people who were coming to worship God. And so if we look at that then for ourselves, we ask then, what is it that's keeping me from union with God? How often we basically sit at the gate of the temple, but we don't go in because we're afraid to open up the heart. We're afraid of what's going to happen. And so we'll go through the motions, so it's not physically not going in. Obviously, if that were the case, you'd be sitting out on the sidewalk right now. But it's spiritually the fact that we aren't willing to allow ourselves to enter into union with God. Now, if we look forward, we recognize that heaven is described as the temple of the Lord. What is it that's keeping us from entering the temple? By that, I don't mean, well, we're not dead yet. I'm saying, if I were to die today, what's in the way? And even by that, I don't mean, is there a mortal sin and I would go to hell? I'm saying, what's going to cause us to wind up in purgatory? What's keeping us from entering directly into the temple of God? What is it that's going to cause us to sit in purgatory at the gate of the temple, in essence, hoping that somebody's going to give us some alms, that is prayer, so that we can get into the temple? What's keeping us? Ultimately, we hear the answer in the gospel. It's a lack of love for God. Our love is not perfected. And the sad thing is, in our humanness, most people are willing to settle for mediocrity when it comes to love. God made you to love, and He made you to be loved. And we just sort of want to settle for, lukewarm. As long as I can love a little bit, that's okay. No, it's not. It's better than not at all. But no, God didn't make you for mediocrity. In fact, He made it very clear. He said, be hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. He doesn't want us to kind of maybe love a little bit, sort of, if we have to. He wants us to be on fire with His love. And what a wonderful thing that we can see. If you were reading along with the Latin, you'll see it. If you can see it in the Greek, it's not in the English, because remember, there are four different Greek words for love, and there's only one English word for love. But if you noticed in the Latin today, there were two different words that were used. So Jesus asks Peter if he loves him. And Peter says, so Jesus asks him with one word, Peter answers with a different word. In the Latin it was diligus and then amo. diligis and amo. In Greek, it's agape and philos. And so twice, do you love me with agape love? He says, Lord, you know that I'm your friend. You know that I love you with philos love. He says, no, do you love me with agape love? Yeah, you know that I love you with philos love. Finally, Jesus comes down to his level, says, Peter, do you love me with philos love? Or as it is in the Latin, amaste. And Peter says, oh, Lord, amote, you know everything. Yeah, you know that I love you. But then he goes on to tell Peter, the day is going to come when you're going to be able to love me with that higher love. Right now you can't, so he's going to come down to our level. What mercy. Rather than just sitting up there saying, come on, get up here. I made you for this, get here, would you? No, he comes down to us in his mercy, just as he did in his humanity. Now he does in his charity. So when Peter couldn't say, yes, Lord, I love you with agape love, or he couldn't say, diligos me, and diligos te, but he couldn't say that. All he could say is, amo. And so Jesus came down and said, amaste? Amas me, sorry. And so he came to Peter's level. And that's exactly what he does for you and me. But he isn't going to be satisfied to leave us at that level. He's going to call us forward. So that's why he tells Peter, when you get older, here's what's going to happen. St. John says this is to signify the death by which Peter was going to glorify God. It's not necessarily about how our death is going to glorify God. It's how our life is going to glorify God. That's what we want to look at. Am I loving the way that I should? God and neighbor. Because that's what it all comes down to. What's keeping us from union with Jesus? We don't love him enough. If we loved him perfectly, we would have perfect union with him. We can only have union with Christ to the level or the degree that we're willing to love him. And that means making ourselves vulnerable. It means opening our hearts. It means allowing him to love us. That's where it gets really scary. You can control how much you're going to give. You cannot control how much you're going to receive. Therefore, we try to shut it down because we're afraid to be loved. We're afraid to allow ourselves to be vulnerable. And you cannot love unless you are willing to be vulnerable. Unless you are willing to take the risk of being hurt or being rejected, you cannot love. So most of us don't, because we're afraid. So 365 times Jesus said, not just Jesus, it says in the scriptures, fear not or be not afraid. One for every day of the year. You think he's trying to tell us something? We do not need to be afraid, especially of the very thing that we were created for, which is to love. And so just think of it. If we are willing to do this, like this man who sat day after day after day at the temple, at the gate of the temple, we're now the ones who are going to be jumping and singing and praising God and glorifying him, because we are finally able to fulfill what we were created to do. Yes, for most of us, we're probably going to have to deal with purgatory anyway, because we're not going to die loving as we should. Then we'll praise God for the rest of eternity for it. But he wants it even now. He doesn't want to wait until you get to heaven to love as much as you can. He wants you to love now as much as you can. And that's the invitation he's holding out to you. Put your name in there, take Peter out, and Jesus is looking at you right now and says, do you love me? Not do you have nice emotions about me? Not do you think I'm pretty cool? Not do you think that I'm your friend? Do you love me with agape love, with the highest kind of love? Do you love me with your whole heart and soul and strength? And we kind of go, well, yeah, you know, I guess, sort of, kind of, yeah, I guess. Yeah. So then he's going to finally look at us and say, so do you guess you kind of, sort of love us, love me? All right, then let's start there and let's move it forward. But we have to make the choice. He's not going to force you to love, because love has to be a free choice. Do you want to love him? Do you want to love him with your whole heart and soul and strength? Because that's what he wants for you and me. That's what he does for us. That's what he is asking us to do in return.